Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I have something that really on my heart that I want to share. Over the month of February, we've spoken about the year of obedience, radical obedience. We spoke about sanctification, spiritual discipline. And this morning, I want to talk about another spiritual discipline, and that is purity. Purity. It's not often that purity is discussed or talked about from the pulpit, but it's time that the church starts walking in purity. You see, sanctification is the process of being set apart for God with the desired outcome of being holy, becoming more Christ-like. Purification is the preparation of the heart. And we're going to talk about that today. Because in the world today, purity seems old-fashioned. Purity is actually nearly a swear word in the younger generation. But the Word of God calls each and every single one of us to be pure in heart and in mind and in actions. You see, as believers, purity is non-negotiable. It's a non-negotiable spiritual discipline. Why is it a discipline? It's a discipline because when you look at the definition of what the definition is of discipline, discipline is a practice. It's a training or habit that requires intentional effort. That's the key word. Intentional effort and consistency to develop a skill or character or a way of life. Living a pure life needs to be intentional, especially in the world that we live in where temptation is so rife. Doesn't matter where you go, billboards, televisions, radios, magazines. Doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter what you look at nowadays, there's some kind of temptation. Somewhere along the line, the dark has infiltrated and the dark is trying to infiltrate the light. But we take a stance as believers and I call us to a life of purity. You can't even watch a Disney movie nowadays without seeing that somewhere along the line, the gay life is intertwined into that. It's sad. But it's time that the church rose up. It's time that the church took on this spiritual definition. Purity definitely requires intentionality. Definitely. Psalms 119:9 says to us, how can a young man stay pure? I'm going to say, how can a young lady stay pure? How can a man or a woman stay pure? This is the answer. Only by living in the Word of God and walking in its truth. Living in the Word of God and walking in its truth. Let me put that in layman's terms. Read God's Word, apply God's Word. Read God's Word, apply God's Word. I've said it once, I've said it twice, I'm going to say it this whole year. Guess what? We are doers of the Word. We are not just hearers of the Word. We have to take the Word and apply it to our lives. This is the only way where we can build a strong and undefiled heart. Only way. Purity, folks, is not just about avoiding sin. It's about actively training in righteousness. Actively being intentional. Actively training in righteousness. We have to be actively training. What do I mean by that? Read God's Word, apply God's Word. Read God's Word, read God's Word, apply God's Word. That is how we will grow ourselves in Christ. The result is this: when we do that, we will walk in greater intimacy with God, which in turn increases our spiritual authority. Who here knows that we need to increase in our spiritual authority? which then in turn gives us a clearer revelation, a revelation of his purpose and his will. Purity is not a burden. Say to your neighbor, it's not a burden. It's actually an invitation. Purity is an invitation to what? It's an invitation to live in the fullness of God's presence and power. It's an invitation to live in God's presence and walk in his power. You see, for all believers, there is a call to purity because purity is a requirement to see God. This song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Why? So I can see you. So I can see you high and lifted up. Purity is a requirement to see God. And this is our main scripture for the week. A scripture that I want you to go and ponder on. A scripture that I want you to go and talk about in your family. A scripture that I want us to discuss, selves in life group. Matthew 5 verse 8. What bliss you will experience when your heart is pure. Here it comes. For then your eyes will open to see more and more of God. The bliss is us experiencing because our hearts are pure. The requirement is a pure heart. Let me read that scripture again. What bliss you experience when your heart is pure. For then, when your heart is pure, for then your eyes will open to see more and more of God. This is not JJ saying this. This is Jesus saying this. The pure in heart will see God. They will see God. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I don't want to wait until I get to heaven and then realize, my gosh, I could have experienced and encountered God more on earth when I was here. For then it's too late. Who knows that? It's too late. And I do suffer from FOMO. Anybody else suffer from FOMO? Please be real. The rest of you are lying. Because all of you suffer from some kind of FOMO. If there's a fashion show, or if there's a fashion sale, or a shoe sale, or a chocolate sale, or the Formula One, and you can't buy tickets, or rugby, or footy, and you can't get there, guess what? FOMO. Especially when your friends are going. How was it? Oh, I'm so sorry. I couldn't. That's FOMO. Now the definition of FOMO. And moi, I suffer from FOMO. I own it. I own it. And you know why? Because I don't want to lose. I don't want to miss out of God here, right now, in this place. I don't want to leave this world one day and not have seen signs, wonders, and miracles follow me for the rest of my life. I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to leave one day and not at least see one person raised back to life. It's what the Bible says. And it should be exactly the same with all of us. Can you imagine if we all had got rid of the FOMO, or we had the FOMO and we're like, I want to see this before I leave this world. But it comes back to that whole thing of living a pure life, having a pure heart. Now, I've been walking through the book of Exodus since about October last year. I cannot get through it. I never in my life thought that I would fall in love with the Old Testament the way I have fallen in love with the Old Testament. But you know, every day as I'm reading through the book of Exodus, there's something new. There's a new revelation that I found out about God. You know what? You want to know what the latest is? Shelly Ann would like to know this one. What the latest is I've actually heard that I've heard from others that I'm actually quite a detailed person, all right? I've heard, don't laugh too loud. I've heard from others that I'm actually quite pedantic as well. And this week I actually heard that I'm a perfectionist. Now that was a bit of a tall pill to swallow. But you know what? I thought about it. Actually, I am. I am detailed. And I am actually quite pedantic because I take after my father. I do. I take after my father. You see, on Friday, I'm reading through, just Friday, just this Friday gone, I'm reading through Exodus 26, and I'm reading God's instruction to Moses in regarding to the building of the tabernacle and into the building of the altar. Hello, talk about pedantic. Talk about, he's pretty pedantic. He's pretty detailed. Like father, like son. Easy as. So to all of you out there that are known as detailed and pedantic, you got permission to be detailed and pedantic because you, like father, like daughter, like father, like son. Thanks, you can take me later. Just throw the $50 bills, that'll be fine. Do the rest of you say, I'm not a detailed person? Well, actually, you are. If you're anything like your father. Just saying. Just saying. All right, moving on. Moving on. Moving on. All right. But reading through Exodus, I love the fact that you have Moses and you have the Israelites. And I think this is a perfect biblical example where you see purity and the less of the purity, or holiness and less of holiness. Exodus 33, 18 to 23. If you've got your Bibles, please get them out. Turn to Exodus 33 because we'll be going through a couple of scriptures there. Moses asked God to see his glory. Moses comes, he says, God, show me your glory, and God honors his request, yes? Have you ever stopped and wondered why God actually honored Moses' request? I have, and as I'm studying through this, I've come to the summary of it's because of Moses' dedication and his commitment to holiness and presence. Let me give you a couple of examples. Exodus 3, verse 5, he's at the burning bush. We read about the burning bush. Moses was required by God to remove his, what? His sandals, all right? Now, sandals are basically, they symbolize dirt and dust and impurities. Why? Because sandals collect dirt and dust and impurities as they walk through all the unclean places. And removing them basically is symbolizing leaving behind the worldly defilement and approaching God in purity and in reverence. So Moses, her God says, remove your sandals for you are on holy ground. Moses adheres to this request, showing his willingness to be sanctified. What is sanctified? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Sanctified is to be set apart with the intention to become holier, to become more Christ-like. So he sets apart, symbolizing the worldly defilement behind him, and he steps forward willingly to be sanctified. Then in Exodus 33, 11, the Lord speaks to Moses. It says it speaks to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friends. Now, we're talking like in 20 chapters later in Exodus. In the beginning, God meets Moses, the burning bush. 20 chapters later, what are we reading? We read that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. What does this indicate to us? This indicates to us basically that Moses has an intimate relationship with God. Intimate. This is important to pick up because a couple of verses later in verse 20, God says to Moses, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. That's an important scripture. But let's not focus on that one. Let's focus on verse 11, where it tells us that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, indicating that there is this amazing relationship between God and Moses. My question to you, the question we should ask ourselves when we read this is, how did that happen? Well, if we go and read it, we find out that there was a continual pursuit of deep communion with God and holiness by Moses. Moses was intentional about pursuing God. He was intentional about a deep communion with God and his holiness. And he positions himself near God through how? Through his obedience and devotion. Obedience, radical obedience is our theme for this year. How do we see this? How do we see that he was obedient and he was devoted? He got to a place of sacrificing. In Exodus 34, 28, it says, so he was there, who's this? Moses, with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. And then it says, he neither ate bread nor drank water. In other words, 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. 40 days, 40 nights of seclusion. He didn't eat bread, neither did he drink water. He was seeking the God. He was seeking the Lord's presence. He was seeking God's presence. This, folks, is sacrifice. We fasted and prayed for 7 days. We struggled 7 days. I said to Tim, next year we're doing 40 days. Okay, I'm joking. Moses, what is it shown as? He lives a lifestyle of intercession and fasting, sacrificing the physical. Why? For the supernatural. Folks, living a life of purity is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you laying things aside that has been part of your life for way too long. Why? You've got to choose. It's either this or this. This being His presence. This being a life of holiness. This being a life of purity. I want to encourage us. We need to start going for this. You know what? The world outside there, if we do not separate ourselves, we don't look any different to what they are. The world outside doesn't want to hear about God. There's a number of gods being promoted, floating around out there. It's time for the world to see. See the signs. See the wonders. See the miracles. How? Through you. But that's going to cost leading a life of purity. Having a pure heart. Exodus 33:15. Let's pick it up there. Exodus 33, I'm going to read from verse 12. I'm going to read from 15 to around about 19. Yeah, around about 19. I'm going to skip. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people." So God has given him a command. Hey, take these people, a couple of million of them. Let's go. We're going on travels. But then Moses says to God, "But you have not let me know whom you will send with me." Capital Y. "Yet you have said," so this is Moses saying to God, you, God, have said, "I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight." Right there, that is said a couple of times in that passage. But right there, that also indicates to me that God even acknowledges him by name, and God has also that he has found grace in God's sight, which shows that there is that intimate relationship that we were talking about. Yep, are you with me? Right, let's go to verse 14. And he said, so he asks him, he says, "Hey, I want you to send your presence with me." And in verse 14, he says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, this is Moses, "If your presence does not go with us," so Moses is saying to God, "Hey God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us?" So what is Moses doing here? Moses is very much at the point of preparing to forfeit the promised land. He's preparing to forfeit the blessing if God's presence does not go with him. He's prepared to forfeit that was promised by God way back in the day, which is why they're on their way, if God's presence was not going to be there. Who knows that that is a massive sacrifice? Who knows that you and I may not even be here sitting in this room today if God did not go with him? Because Moses could have gone another adventure. What happened then influences where we are now. Coming back to the whole legacy thing from last week. We have to realize that his presence was so intentional, integral. It had to happen for Moses to step one step further on his way to the promised land. And he's like, "God, if you don't go with us, I'm not going. And how are they going to know that we are your people if you don't go with us?" This is crazy. This is crazy stuff. "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Moses prioritizes God's presence over the promised land. You know what? Many people want God's blessings. They desire God's blessings, but Moses desired God himself. That's a word for some of us. Some of us want God's blessings, but do we want God? Because having God means sacrifice. Take up your cross and follow me. Not take up your cross and do your own thing. Take up your cross and follow me. It takes sacrifice. But here, Moses is prepared to do that. People, we need to lay down our own desires and our own blessings and go after God himself, which is a true mark of holiness, and it's a true mark of purity. This is where we get that concept, which we were very much on about last year, and we still are today, even with the worship, is his presence is our priority. Hello, it's not a concept that I coined. It's a concept actually Moses coined. If your presence doesn't go with us, God, if you don't show up today, in this, it's just a concert. Pauline and I never want this to be a gathering or a concert. We want this to be a gathering where he is glorified. His presence comes, and you are transformed, and I'm transformed. That's why we gather. That's why we gather. That's just a little bit of a side note. So here we are, Exodus 33, 18 to 19. I love this. And he says, Moses, he says, please show me your glory. Then he said, this is God, capital H. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. So here Moses is asking, hey, God, please show me your glory. God says, I will make all, if you've got your Bibles, underline that word, all my goodness pass before you. Wait a minute. Moses asked for one thing. God gives him a different thing. You've got to ask yourself the question, what is the difference between glory and all my goodness? Why is there two different words? Are they two different words? That's where we dig in the Bible. We go and look at the Hebrew word. What is the original Hebrew word of glory? And what is the original Hebrew word of goodness? And we find they're two different words with two different meanings. So here they are on the board. So we're unpacking glory. Glory is kabod. Everybody say kabod. Come on. Come on, kabod. There we go. Refers to the presence. Now we all go, oh, that's beautiful. We've just been in it. No, it's not that presence. It's not that presence. It's a weighty, tangible, inner reality that makes God who he is. Now that sounds pretty amazing, yeah? And that's what we want, correct? But it's not just the presence of God. It's not just an abstract idea, but it is actually his revealed presence. It's actually his radiance. It's actually his power. It's actually his majesty. So Moses is not just asking for a miracle. Moses is asking to encounter the fullness of God's essence. That's what he's asking. He's saying to God, God, give me your, reveal yourself fully to me. That's what he's asking. That's what he's asking according to it. But who knows that we serve a good God? Three of you. Who knows we serve a good God? You got to talk to me. Yeah, thank you. I'm seeing some hands. That is great. I love this. I love this when you talk with me. God hears Moses. But he's a good God. He's a protective God. He's a God that loves humanity. He's a great father. And God knows that the fullness of his glory is going to be too overwhelming for man to bear. And this is where Exodus 33, 20 comes in when he says, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. He knows if he granted Moses his request, if Moses had seen the fullness of his glory, Moses would die. How good is our God? So what he does is he gives Moses what he can handle as a human, and that is all of my goodness. You understanding the difference? That is, he's prepared to give him all of my goodness because he doesn't want Moses to die. So what does goodness mean? Good question. Goodness is the word tov, a part of his glory. Isn't this amazing? That's why we need to do word studies. It is part of his glory. So he says, all, I love the word, all.
all. That means everything. All of my goodness represents what? It represents God's moral perfection. It represents God's kindness. It represents God's mercy. It represents His love. So God's goodness is something that humanity can experience without being consumed. What do I mean by that? I mean this. God's goodness is something that humanity can experience without dying. How good is this? So the glory of God is who God is. The goodness is what He does. We as humanity cannot stand, we'll not be able to stand in His presence of who, if He has to reveal who He really is, the majesticness of who God is. He wouldn't fit in this room. He doesn't fit in this room. He's everywhere at the same time. That's how majestic He is. But He knows when, if He revealed that to us, we would be gone, evaporated, not even around, I don't think, I don't know. I'm just surmising. But He says, instead of that, I tell you what, I'll give you all of my goodness. I'll give you what I do. Mercy, love, kindness, perfection. That is all that I do is yours. It's yours. Why is this important? Because here's the revelation. The revelation is Moses' dedication to holiness and purity led to his revelation of God's goodness. Say to your neighbor, man, this is good preaching. I'm not responding that well, but this is good preaching. Moses, you've got to get this, guys. Moses' dedication to holiness and purity led to the revelation of God's goodness. We serve an amazing God. We serve a loving God. We serve a God that He just loves us so much. I don't think we realize this, how much He loves us. He loves us so, so much. So Moses' life teaches us that holiness and purity, there's that word pure, purity, leads to greater revelations of who God is, which result in greater encounters with God. That's how come it's important for young men, young girls, even us, to walk in their true identity as sons and daughters. True identity as sons and daughters. Why? So that you have the revelation of who I am and whose I am. I am His. I belong to Him. I am His daughter, or I am His son. He is a great God that gives me all of His goodness. And with that revelation of who I am, guess what? I encounter more of Him. My heart, Paulina's heart, is for each one of you to encounter God like you have never encountered Him before. That you walk in your true, true, true identity. That by the end of this year, you look back and you go, my gosh, look where I started in January. Look where I am right now. Look what God has done. Look at how God has revealed. Look at, I've got this newfound revelation of the love of the most loving Father ever, ever to exist or ever will exist. His name is Papa God. He loves you. Abba. 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 I spoke about Moses and the Israelites. The Israelites, let's talk a little bit about them. The Israelites, on the other hand, is actually quite a good depiction of where the current state of affairs is with the church. Not you guys. You guys are just like angels. You know, the church out there, those far away. You can laugh. It's a joke. It's a joke. Thanks. The difference between Moses and the Israelites was one thing. Heart posture. Heart posture. Sometimes in the church, the heart posture is not right because there's a lack of knowledge. Knowledge only comes from this. Lack of knowledge, even teaching. Some of our teachings that we've been sitting under, not here, not here, not here. Other places, have not been as biblical. I'm like, if we can't get it out of the word, it shouldn't be preached from the pulpit. We're not here to inspire you. We're here to transform you by giving you truth. Because it's the truth that will set you free. Amen? Amen? It's the truth that will set you free. Heart posture. You see, while Moses pursued God with purity, obedience, and intimacy, the Israelites had divided hearts. The Israelites lived rebellious, idolatrous, and complacent lives. Their lifestyle was different. They were rebellious. How much of the church is not rebellious nowadays? How much of the church is complacent? How much of the church is, have got idols that they worship instead of God? And I'm not talking like little statues. Mannerisms, money, earthly desires, those are all kinds of idols. The Israelites feared God's presence while Moses desired it. Comparison. The Israelites loved God's blessings while Moses loved God himself. The Israelites were spiritually impure while Moses was consecrated. What do you mean by that? Moses is fasting in God's presence, and guess what the Israelites are doing? They're worshiping the golden calf. Israelites complain. They whinge. Oh, look what you've taken us to. God is not providing. Where's all the food? Let's go back to Egypt. They were whinging in the air. Well, what did Moses do? Moses was interceding. The Israelites wanted a mediator. They wanted Moses to stand in the gap between them and God, but what was Moses doing? He was working on relationship. He was desiring relationship. Folks, when we hear this, we have to be more on the side of Moses than on the side of Israel. We have to be more like Moses than the Israelites. We've got to desire, want the relationship. We've got to be the people that intercede. We've got to be the people that consecrate ourselves. We've got to be people that love God above everything else. We've got to be the ones that desire God the most. But you know what was the beauty of this all? When you go and read, and you know that Moses is up with God and he's consecrated. But when he came down, those Israelites who were living this rebellious lifestyle, they recognized and identified that this man had been with God Almighty because his face shone. Let me tell you, church. When we start spending time with God and we come out of that throne room in the morning or out of reading the word and we are glowing with his presence, the world will take note. And they will be coming to you and they'll be coming to me and they'll be saying, I don't know what you have, but I want what you want. That's time, church. But it's time to purify, to set yourselves apart, to sanctify and spend time with him so that when we come out of his presence, we are transfigured. Our countenance is different. The world will recognize, and that's what the world is looking for. Because you know what? That this person goes to a kind of church. That person goes to a kind of, that person worships that God, and that person worships that God, and they look at believers, and there's no difference between any one of them. But when the believer stands, and the believer looks different, he walks different, he talks different, he is just enveloped in the presence of God, guess what? The world is going to take note. And the world will say, there is truly one God, and his name is Abba. It's time, church. It's time. What is our takeaway? Purity. Say, purity is a lens through which we perceive God. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Purity releases spiritual authority. We need to start walking in spiritual authority. Purity releases that spiritual authority. Why? Because we've been set apart for power. Purity is a weapon against the enemy. It is a weapon against the enemy. The enemy thrives where there is impurity. The enemy thrives where there is sin, because sin gives the enemy legal access into your life. But you know what? A life that is pure disarms the enemy's tactics. John 14, 13, Jesus, who is our example, says, "For the ruler of this world," he's referring to Satan himself, "for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me."
Can you say that? Can I say that? Whew. Tough question, JJ.
I know. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. You're just hearing me preach to me. And I'm asking that God convicts me and you in all of this. "For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." Oh, come on. Come on. Jesus was completely pure. Satan had no foothold in his life. When we live pure, the enemy has no access to us at all. No access.
Last point there that I have there. Purity prepares us for revival. Come on, I want revival, Lord. You see, every major revival that has ever happened across this globe has been preceded by a call to repentance and holiness. God moves powerfully through a purified people. That's why I'm saying, it's time for us to get purified. It's time for us to have a pure heart. Last week I said, I declare 20 Joseph Street is the next place God will use to birth a revival movement that will go across the globe. Everybody clapped and cheered. So here is my call to you to repent and come into holiness. Because to see that happen, we need to start here. Where does it start? One-on-one with God. That's where it starts. Nowhere else. Starts in the throne room. You and Him together. Doesn't start in a setting like this. Young man, young lady, you guys are the ones that will carry the flame of revival. If these old fuddy dods don't do it, you do it. Checking you out. Up there in the little corner, you think you're hiding? I see you. Revival is not random. Revival is the response of heaven to a people who have been sanctified, whose hearts are purified, and whose minds seek His presence above all. That is revival. How can I walk in purity? Good question. Not difficult. Everybody take a sigh of relief. It's not difficult. Number one, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23, go and read it. Take a picture of this, go and read these scriptures. Watch what you allow your soul into your soul through your ears, through your eyes, and even through your thoughts. Watch. Parents, watch what your kids are watching. Parents, watch what your kids are listening to. Mom, I'm only listening to rap. I detest rap because you cannot hear what they're saying. And underlining most of the rap songs that come through, the underlying of those words are not godly. Oh, this is Christian rap. I nearly said something. Bull. Listen to the words. Kids, young men, young women, be careful what you listen to. The enemy comes. He is sneaky. He is sneaky, sneaky. He just sows the wrong little word, phrase in there. You're not even hearing it, but you are hearing it. Whew. Passionate, as you can see. Guard your heart. Number two, renew your mind. Romans 12:2. Read God's word. Apply God's word. Read God's word.
apply God's word, renew your mind. There are how many promises? Over 7,000 promises. These promises here are not only promises for you to be blessed, it's for you to walk in His ways. Read God's word, apply God's word. The third thing, walk in the Spirit. Depend on the Holy Spirit to lead you into holiness. Galatians 5:16. Oh, it's so difficult. It's not. You've got a helper. His name is not Pastor Russ. His name is not Pastor JJ. His name is not Jimmy or John. His name is Holy Spirit. Pastor Russ has not got a supernatural. He's not supernaturally inclined. He has listened to the Spirit. But you know what? Neither am I. But Holy Spirit, my gosh, He is supernatural, extraordinary. And He is the helper that you need in this time, in this world today. And guess what? He's with you. If you've given your life to Jesus and you've accepted Him, where you go, He goes. He does not leave you. He does not forsake you. He doesn't say, oh, I'm not going in there. I'll wait here, JJ. When you come out, I'll meet you up. No, no, no. You go into the pub, He's in there with you. You go into the brothel, He's in there with you. You're looking at porn, He's there with you. He's everywhere that you are. Purify your hearts. Purify your hearts. Lastly, and you've got helper. You've got the helper. Capital T, capital H. The helper, known Holy Spirit. Capital H, capital S. Holy Spirit. Supernatural. You can. I can't. You can. There's no such word as can't in the dictionary. Cannot is, but that's a decision. Fourth and final. Accountability. James 5:16, confess your struggles. Surround yourselves with godly influence. Men, I'm talking to you, young men. Young men. I don't know why I'm keep on leaning this way, but young men. Stop trying to be macho. Stop trying to do life by yourselves. Doesn't work. Been there, done that. Does not work. Get an accountability buddy. Get somebody that you can trust. That when you're struggling, you know how many people I have struggling with porn? That when they struggle, they phone me. That's okay. It's okay to talk about these things from the pulpit. It's okay. Because it's real life problems. The problem is, we don't want to talk about it from the pulpit, but it needs to be talked about from the pulpit. They phone me. I'm struggling with thoughts right at this point in time. Where are you? Oh, I'm at home. Who's with you? No one. Problem number one. What should I do? Close that computer. Get in your car. Go and have a coffee with somebody. There's nobody going to have a coffee with. Go and walk in the shops. Just get away from your computer. I have these conversations on a regular basis. Find yourself a buddy. Now, I can't do it with 600 people, but there's enough of us here that can keep one another accountable. Because I want to tell you, 90% of the issues you're struggling with as a male, other men are also struggling with. But there's a thing called pride that keeps us from talking to one another. And my Bible, your Bible, Scripture says, pride comes before a... Oh, pride comes before a... Why is it all the women that are answering that? Pride comes before a... I see some of the wives going, are you listening to this? Wives, the same with you. Women, same with you. You know that... The percentage of women that struggle with porn now are at exceptional levels than ever before in the history of humanity. You're not immune. That's just one. There's many other things. Alcohol, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to go into that. Be accountable to one another. Find yourself a buddy. Confess, hey, I'm struggling. No judgment. Great, let me pray for you. Pray for them. Then it's not like, oh, Tim, guess what? I was speaking to Jack the other day, and Jack's not that. That's the problem.
we break the trust. Accountability buddy, it's the two of you.
Come on, men, women, young men, young girls, it's time to rise up. It's time to take this thing on. It's time to see your life transformed. Transformed. Transformed.
There's so much potential in this room. So much potential. So many gifts, so many things. Each one of you, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your background, you could have been the biggest convict, you could have been in jail. I couldn't care. Jesus loves you. Anyway, He's forgiven you. You're sitting here. I couldn't care. I don't know if I'll ever have a platform. No, you will. You will. Process. Why? Because He loves you. Pauline and I fear the one in you more than anything else. You should as well. You should be treating your neighbor. Why? Because the Bible says so. No, no, no. Because God has purpose to live inside of Todd. Therefore, I should treat Todd with so much respect. That's honor. So much respect. Not treat him, not talk to him badly, not talk about him badly. Because God loves him. God lives in him. He's a vessel for Holy Spirit. Respect goes to a new level. Honor goes to a new level. Every single one of us. I finish with this. Team are playing beautifully in the background. Angels are descending, ascending, going up and down. Purity aligns our lives with God's heart and positions us to be vessels of His glory. You are a vessel that He wants to use and is using currently. I had a picture. I didn't share this in the first verse, but I want to share it now. I had a picture of a vein, an artery that is clogged with cholesterol. The reality is the life-giving blood cannot actually flow like it should through that artery. A life that is impure is like an artery clogged up with cholesterol. The glory can still flow, but not as much as and as free as what God wants to. Let's unclog ourselves and let's become a pure vessel that He can flow through us on a constant basis, freely, freely, freely. 1 Peter 1:16 says this, and let's heed to this call. Be holy, for He is holy. I want us to pray right there where you are. I first want to talk to people who may not know Jesus. If we can just bow our heads, leave the lights like this. This is fine, I can see. But if you're here today and you have not given your life to the Lord, you have not yet up until now said, Lord, I want to serve You. I want You to come and be my Lord and Savior of my heart, and I want to serve You fully. If you have never prayed that prayer, today is the day, my friend. Because today is the day that your life can turn around. Today is the day you can put your hand in Jesus' hand and He'll walk with you through the highs and the lows of life. I'm not making an empty promise. I am the result of Him walking through with me. From being very much sexually abused when I was a young man, to being a man that is on the pulpit, that's been on the pulpit across the globe, preaching, sharing my testimony. Where God is, there is grace, there is favor, there is love. And that's what He wants to pour in your heart today. So if you have never given your life to Jesus, you've never prayed the prayer, Lord Jesus, come and live in my heart, come and be my Lord and my Savior, I want you to raise your hand where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you, and then we'll get one of our team to come and connect with you. Is that all right? So just all heads bowed. I don't want anybody looking around. This is all about more about privacy than trying to hide anything. If that is you, can you just raise your hand there where you are? Here on my left, your right, up in the middle, anybody in the middle, nobody in the middle, great. Anybody on the side, anybody that says, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus today. That's great. That's awesome. That's exciting. We're all in. We're all in. I love it. We're all in. We're all in the kingdom.
But now I want to pray. Keep your hands, keep your eyes shut. Put your hand on your heart. Right there where you are. I want to pray for us. Father, here we are. Here we are. We give you our hearts today, Lord, afresh. We come to you this morning, Father God, and we say, Lord, help us to walk in a greater measure of your presence and your power. I surrender my heart afresh to you. Just there where you are, each one of you individually, just say that, I surrender my heart afresh to you, Lord. If that's the desire of your heart, I surrender my heart afresh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, set us apart. Set us apart for you, for your glory. Set us apart for all of your goodness. Set us apart to live lives that are just transformed. Set us apart, Lord. Set us apart. Set us apart. Open the eyes. Open the eyes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Just together. Together, just say, sing this as a confession.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open my eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Yes, we want to see you.
I want to see you.
I want to see you, Lord God. I want to see you. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Father God, from the front to the back, encounter each person sitting here from the front to the back, from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Encounter them, 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 encounter them. I feel, I sense exactly the same as the first service. There's a tussle, there's a tussle between, there's like two powers, so to speak. There's something going on with your heart. There's somebody here, one or two people, three people, whose hearts are a bit, there's a bit of a tussle happening. Right now, I speak peace to your heart. I speak peace to your heart. I release the shalom of heaven upon your heart right now. And I say to the enemy, you will release the heart, because the heart is filled with the Lord. You release the heart right now. I break off any calamity. I break off any hurt that there has been. I break that off in the name of Jesus. I break off any bondage on hearts right now in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, Father. I get a vision right now. I get a vision of it's a deception of the enemy. You look at your heart and you feel that your heart is whole and your heart is free. But what I'm seeing, it's like there's this casket, there's this mold around your heart that looks very similar to your heart. But on the right-hand side, there's a lock. And that lock, all over that lock is written Satan, 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 Satan. So right now, I ask, Father, from heaven that you'll reach down and you'll zap that lock. You'll zap it now in the name of Jesus. I also pray that cover, that false cover that is over the heart, that you will destroy that, that that will be shattered into dust right now in the name of Jesus. I pray release, release, release in the name of Jesus. I thank you that every heart in this place and every heart in my voice that hears this has now been released and restored to its fullness and its wholeness in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, there's a plug. There's a hole in a heart right now, a hole. Is that a physical hole? I'm not
not sure. Maybe it's just a spiritual hole right now. I pray that you'll come and touch that heart and that you'll plug that heart right now, Lord God. Plug that hole. But don't plug it, Father, with something temporary. I pray that you'll renew and refresh the tendons around the heart, that leak, whatever that leak is stopped now in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Let's just stay in this. God is busy doing stuff in hearts right now, right across this place. Right now, even those who are listening, God is doing something in hearts right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. I feel a release. We can move on. I feel a release. Father, we come to the end of this service. Father, I seal the word that has gone out. I seal the work that you have done. I seal everything, Father God, that you are busy doing with the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I declare, Yuma East, we are wild ones for you, on fire, purified, sanctified, obedient, revivalists, ready to transform our communities, our city, our nation, and the world. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Can we give God praise? Is that good? Thank you. Come on, let's do a little bit.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.